The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of You're Welcome. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. I hope you ate too much as I did. I hope you got a good nap in. But we got to get on with it. Down here with the Godfather, Joel Supernaut. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Merry Christmas, brother. Did you have a good Christmas?
Always have a good Christmas.
Man, I had a good Christmas. It was good seeing Reese. It was good seeing the kids. It was good with Lad. I had a great Christmas. Wonderful Christmas.
I'm glad that you did.
I'm glad we're here. Yes. I'm glad you invited me today.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Here we are. I see you have notes in front of you. I thought you were going to kick us off. You want me to kick us off?
You can do whatever you want. It's your show.
I mean, it's fight week. What do you want to do? You got Jones and Gustafson.
Well, I got a bone to pick with you. But we can get into that, or I can pick the bone with you later.
What you got?
Okay, so you know that show we go down to see the Clayton Jack Russells?
Yeah.
Either last time or the time before I was in here, I threw some shade at Eric Roberts. You tell me that Cal Jack is...
Now, help me out. Who is Eric Roberts?
What's Roberts?
Oh, you're talking about Kevin Roberts.
Kevin Roberts. I wrestled with Eric Roberts in college. So Kevin Roberts, I threw some shade on Kevin Roberts. You tell me that Clayton Jack's a Godfather mark.
Yeah.
I find him on Twitter and I couldn't find him through Clayton Jack. And I'm like, Clayton Jack's the best wrestling name. I mean, if you were going to be a pro wrestler, Clayton Jack's a good name. Well, his name is The Grizz, Cal Jack. And so I feed him some shit, and he comes back like, hey, you're an idiot, and I'm going to kick, you know, you're an idiot. You should have never roughed up my guy Roberts, and next time I see you, I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He came at you.
You go hard at me. He said, you want to talk about being a tough guy and everything? You're an old man, and I will whip your ass.
Okay.
And so I'm like, well, I guess I got to fight some professional fighter, dude.
Well, that sucked.
Yeah. Like, I thought you said he was a mark or something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just because a guy happens to be your fan doesn't mean you can go talk down to him.
Well, I wasn't even talking down to him. I was just saying that Clayton Jack's a great name, blah, blah, blah. I didn't throw that much heat at him. It wasn't that big of a deal for him to come back hot and say, I'm going to kick your ass.
I love that. I actually just spoke to him. He never told me that he came. That he didn't tell me any of that. That is really funny. I don't know where to start on this, but I will start with this. I agree with you on Clayton Jack. That's a strong-ass name. Like, if I went into pro wrestling, that would be the name that, right? That's a name that you would want them to assign you. I agree with you on that. But yeah, as far as you having freedom to go, you know, Speak to the guy negatively. I mean, yeah, I guess you're going to get a little bit.
I don't know how negative it was. It was maybe it wasn't the greatest hello in the world.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe you want to ease into it. Yeah, have you met him before?
Just that big monster when he was wrestling around. I'm not in a big hurry to get down with him.
So wait a second. So have you ever extended your hand and said, hi, I'm Joel? Have you met him?
No.
All right, that's how I'm defining meeting him.
Yeah, I imagine the first time I meet him, it's going to be getting punched in the face at this point.
That sounds like it. That is really funny. He's actually a really hard guy to upset. So I would be curious what it is that you have the text message saved.
He was...
I can't help but think that you're leaving something at the part where were you, you know, you were either drunk or you
no,
laid
I've
into
been
him
sober and, since Thanksgiving.
All right, but I'm saying you must have done so. I've never seen him mad in my whole life, and I've seen him in combat, and he wasn't even mad.
He was mad over Kevin Roberts, over me throwing shade at Kevin Roberts. Now, I don't know if it was a work, if it was ha-ha, funny, but I'm like, it didn't feel that way, and then I threw out a couple olive branches to him, like, hey, man, I was just throwing shade. I love Roberts. Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't going that far. He did just say he was going to whip my ass.
Sure.
And I was like, man, he's a big dude.
he's a big, and he's a young dude.
Yeah.
I mean, not for nothing, but yeah.
I mean, you know,
he was same class as Covington, to put that in perspective for you. They graduated together.
Now, he was a Division I All-American, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was fourth. Fourth in the country, Pac-10 champion.
Yeah, that's not a dude that I would pick out to say, hey, I'm going to go through.
Well, it sounds like you did. I mean, yeah. It sounds like you went to Twitter and found him. He didn't come to you. It sounds like you went to him.
I did.
And
I
apparently
did.
Ruined his day.
Well, yeah.
And so now he's looking to ruin yours.
Yeah, he is.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a work. Hopefully he doesn't want to whip my ass.
Well, he listens to the show, so we will be finding out somewhere in the next 20 minutes, I would say.
All right, cool.
I mean, you're right. He will reach out to you one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to be like,
hey, old man, I was serious. Or, hey, man, I was just messing around.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be like, hey, man, I don't want to fight you and everything and blah, blah, blah.
You got an ego, too. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'll take my ass whooping,
you
got to
take the beating. Sometimes you got to take the beating. I appreciate that story. I'm glad we could share it with
you
guys.
Yeah, I'm blaming it on you.
Well, in many ways, I suppose I am a part of it because you were down here. But, you know, you did take some – you did throw some shots at old Kevin Roberts. I remember that. All right, go on to the next thing. That's interesting.
Well, let's talk about the fight. Let's talk about this weekend.
Let's get Cal Jack on the phone and just see, you know, I'm sure he's home for Christmas. I mean, maybe we got to just line this up. Just get this over with.
We can do that, too. I mean, I don't know.
I guess this isn't home. Home's California for him. I forget. He only went to college here.
Dude, I don't know anything about him. The one time you had him on the show, he was living in the – I don't know if it's a work, if he lives in the mountains. I have no idea. All I know is I watched that dude wrestle in college. He was all there, put together, heavyweight. And I watched him fight that other dude in the show at the Laugh Factory. And he was bigger in the house, and now he wants to beat me up.
Yeah, you know Levi Cooper? Do you remember Levi, all-face kid?
Portland State kid, right?
Portland State, Arizona State, Cal State, Bakersfield for a minute there, but All-American for Arizona State. He got called up. He is now on TV for WWE.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's wrestling under the name Tucker Knight. Just to put it in perspective, if you see Tucker Knight,
that's another name, Levi Cooper. Why wouldn't that just be it?
Yeah, Levi Cooper's a cool name, but Tucker Knight is a little stronger. That one I actually get. I'm with you on Clayton Jack. Clayton Jack is what you wish your name was if you were a pro wrestler.
Well, I did start out my text by, do you know why you're an idiot? Nope, not that. Nope, not that. So, I mean,
this is your open?
Yeah, that was my open.
To a guy that you'd never met?
And as big as a house.
And wait, I just want to back up on your psychology. You thought your permission to come at him that way was because you heard that he's a fan of yours.
Yeah, I mean that, and it did take me 20 minutes to find him.
I tell you this, I just have the different psychology. If I found out, if somebody said, hey, Chael, I'm your fan, that would really flatter me.
I thought he would get it.
Yeah, but that would really flatter me. Like
I was flattered.
I would be extra nice to that person. I wouldn't then think like that was my cue my fingers and tell him to bring me a coffee.
I had planned on being nice to him. He threatened to whip my ass the first comeback. So, I mean, I was a little bit behind the eight ball there.
All right. All right, move on. This is interesting. We will develop this between us. I really should get him on the phone right now. That'd be cool.
Well, yeah, do it. Whatever
I feel
want.
If I got him on the phone right now, that our audience would then think that this was all a work to get him on the show. I feel that if I don't bring him on the show, then they'll know that you're shooting with me. I had no idea any of this was going on.
You can go either way with it. I mean, last time you called me out on something, I told you I tech Munson in 45 seconds, and you had him on the phone.
And you had.
Absolutely. And you knew about that.
Man, I wasn't trying to be a dick to you on that one. I just felt, no, I actually didn't know about it. And it wasn't because I was questioning your skills. It was because I just thought that would have come up. Like, that's a good win to beat Jeff Munson in a grappling match. I mean, that's a good win.
Wrestling match.
Yeah, okay. In a wrestling match, which is a form of grappling, but fair enough. That's why I was questioned. I'm like, man, I had known you 20 years. You would have mentioned this. That's the only reason I questioned you on that.
Yeah, I just kind of feel if you call him, I'll end up fighting him. That's my concern.
Yeah, see, it could backfire that way, too. All right, let's do this. Right. Let's put a pin in it and move on. You like saving cash, right? You know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Well, if that revs your engines, then get this. You can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. What do you got on the sheet there?
Well, let's talk about this weekend. Let's talk about the main and the co-main event.
Where do you want to go? Let's start with Jones.
Oh, you want me to throw the softball up
there?
Yeah, because I kind of want you to. Why is John Jones still talking about Cormier before he's got Gustafson in a title fight this week?
Sure.
3 days.
Yeah, well, here, allow me to answer that question. And that's an interesting – I'm glad you took that angle. We sit here and talk about, well, if he can use the reach and if he can get inside – I don't like that. That's lazy. Okay, here's the thing. If you have a media week with the guy that you're about to fight, traditionally you would then just talk about that guy. That would make sense. If you really wanted another fight, and it appears that he really wants that one, which is interesting – it's interesting because when Cormier wanted it, Jones is like, no, you're not getting it, right? Jones is always a bit of a dick about that in giving guys opportunities and giving guys what they want. He's always the one that he likes to say no. He's one of those guys. He wants to say no. So as soon as Daniel started to say, hey, look, I've moved on from John Jones. As a matter of fact, I'm going to fight Lesnar, and I'm going to call it a career. Goodbye. And he means it's real when Daniel says that he is not pining or negotiating for Jones. Now, well aware that things could change, and I personally happen to think that they will. But as soon as that happened, then John Jones started singing a different tune. Like, hey, wait just a second. What do you mean you don't want to fight? Now I want to fight you. The guy that wins both times when you only fought twice never calls the other guy out for a third fight. So it is very interesting in that perspective. But for any reason, apparently John does want that fight. Whether he wants the heavyweight crown or he just is tired of Daniel or it's a person, I don't know. But apparently he wants that fight. So he is going to be given media for the balance of this week. He is expected to talk about his fight this week with Gus. He is just double-crossing everybody and saying, no, thank you very much for the camera and the airtime. I'm going to use it to talk about my agenda with just Daniel Cormier. I'm good. I like it. I like it. I think it's a smart play. I've got no problem with it, but it is very interesting. It is very interesting that a guy who beat the other guy twice is the guy now pushing for the third fight. And I don't have a problem with it. This isn't coming. I'm not trying to come to you negatively on this. I'm just addressing what I'm seeing here. And to comment that is interesting is very fair. Usually if a guy whips a guy twice, you're done. John's argument was stronger than Daniel's. I'll put it to you that way. When these guys were going back and forth, and John's argument was, yeah, man, I've already done this. And then I went and did it again. We're done here. That is stronger than Daniel's old argument of, yeah, well, I want to try it a third time. I want to try it at heavyweight. It is. And so now the fact that John has gone back on it and gone, no, wait a minute, let's do that third fight. And can I tell you this, too? And I know I'm being long-winded on this, Joel, but here's one thing that we have to just pump the brakes real fast. This is a real challenge in front of John Jones. Gustafson, particularly style-wise.
Thank God you're going to go. Yes.
We've already seen that.
Talk about this.
We've already seen it. So for me to say this is a hard fight, that's not me with a crystal ball. I've already seen it. That's just me with a DVR player and a remote controller. I can prove that that's a hard fight. So the fact that they're going to redo it, the fact that they're on layoffs, the fact that John is under scrutiny and doesn't have the same vitamins that he had the last time they fought. I mean, this is a real contest. My point to that being, if you were to say, okay, Chael, you're going to be the matchmaker of 2019. You're going to make one fight. What's the biggest fight you can possibly make? I got to say it's Jones versus DC, but I must tell you, Joel, by this time next week, should Alexander Gustafson get the jump on John Jones? Should they be one apiece? Should Gus be the world's champion? The fight I'm going to want to see is Jones versus Gus 3. It's not going to have anything to do with Cormier, and that's the piece of it that is, I think that's exciting. I think that the storylines of 2019 are all going to be written with this contest, for at least for that division. I think in what direction or what angle you go is all going to be written that night. And as much as if Gus gets to jump on him, I want to see Gus and Jones 3. That might also be, if you're talking storylines, the perfect opportunity for John Jones to say, you know what? We'll come back to that. Daniel says he's got an expiration date. I'm going to slide up to heavyweight and come after that title. Gus, we split him enjoy your moment. I mean, there's so many things that could happen.
I hope
if Gus wins, there are so many things that could happen if Gus wins. Go ahead.
I'm gonna cover that. I'm gonna go at this at a couple different angles. The first angle is recreating history. Every single fighter that has ever fought in the history of the world on the UFC main event or co-main event, once they stick a camera in front of them, what do they all say? I've never been in better shape.
Sure.
This is the greatest, this is the hardest I've ever trained. So we are led to believe that John Jones trained for 2 weeks when he fought Gustafsson the first time.
Yes.
I call bullshit. He went through a camp. There's no way he didn't go through a camp. Whether he gave his honest best, whether he was out doing coke 2 nights before the fight, he was in shape to fight or he couldn't have fought that war.
Okay.
He's not Superman. So I do believe in his head, because that's not the smartest guy in the world. In his head, he believes it. He believes that he only trained for 2 weeks and he's going to run through this fight. I don't believe that's going to happen. As a fan of the sport, as a fan of all sports, one thing that we don't ever get to have happen is a guy go out on top. Right now, it is set for Daniel, who I know you love Daniel more than anybody in the world. I mean, you and Daniel just love. Now,
why do you say that?
Oh, God, you love him so much. Have you ever picked against him? No, ever. Never.
I don't feel like I'm a homer for Daniel. I don't feel that. Sure. I do like Daniel because that is very much
accurate. I like Daniel,
accurate.
Too, but you tend to carry his luggage.
That is what you say. I will admit to you now that, yeah, I very much like Daniel, but I don't think I've ever come on and admitted that.
You would marry him.
It just it just comes
now that he's
through.
Rich, you would have married him when he was poor. All right, so listen.
I don't think this is accurate.
As
but
a fan, I would like to see Daniel beat Lesnar and roll off into the sunset, because we never get to watch that happen. And that's a guy that has held his end of the bargain up. The only guy that's ever beat him is John Jones. So what does he, other than ego and pride, and those two things never get you too far in life. What is his, if he goes through and beats Lesnar, and he's got all the money that he could ever spend, just like Kevin Lee said, you can't never have too much money. But the reality is he has nothing to gain by going out and fighting John if John beats Alexander at either weight and lose.
You know, that is the part of it that we never discuss, right? And that is a very fair point, that there are many things that will prevent that fight from happening. I tend to still be bullish that that fight will happen, and we'll see it in 2019. But there are many things that would prevent that fight from happening. But of those things, that is the part that we never discuss, which is the math that Daniel has to do. The math in Daniel's mind does at some point logically come down to, I've lost to this guy 2 times. There's an asterisk on the second one, but I felt him and I've been in there. And I'm older now, and I don't believe that the third one's going to be any different than the first two. I don't know that that's the case, but that is a fair guess, I suppose, that if you are in Daniel's shoes, maybe you're looking at it a little bit differently. Hey, do I have a big fight here? Yes. Could I make a bunch of money? You bet I could. It's a guy that I didn't beat the 2 times I had to try, and I was much younger then. So that's fair by you. I don't know that that is the deduction that he's doing. Is said, you want to know what else I don't know? Speaking of Daniel, I don't know what the hell's going on with this Brock Lesnar fight. And let me tell you where I come from on that, Joel. You had that big face-off. You had this mega moment. They got $5 million worth of promotion out of Brock getting in the cage, burning the entire division down, and shoving Daniel across the ring like a bowling ball. We then get revealed that Brock does in fact have a contract, that fight is going to happen. He is in the USADA tested pool. You then see Brock on Monday Night Raw, and he's looking a lot smaller than he used to. And he is not taking a schedule with Raw anymore. He is in training, according to reports, for Daniel Cormier, and he will be free and clear in January of 2019. And that fight is going to happen early. This is a quote from Dana White, early 2019. I don't know what early means. In my mind, it means prior. It means March or earlier. That's what it means in my mind. But also, with given the evidence that he is taking off from his multi-million dollar schedule with a publicly traded company known as WWE. Go ahead.
Well, and he's in the USADA pool.
It would lead me to believe that if he's clear on January 16th, they're going to be fighting January 20th or thereabouts, okay? I don't have proof on that. That is my deduction, and that is what I tend to believe, so that Brock can go right back in and go back to his full-time job. Somewhere along the way, Brock starts looking a little bit juicier, even though he is still in the pool, but he's all of a sudden found that 20 pounds that he very quickly had lost when he first jumped into this. And he is now making more appearances on WWE. And in conjunction with that, as January is right around the corner, I am hearing absolutely zero dialogue or promotion or speculation of a Daniel versus Brock Lesnar fight, which is making me wonder, right, in this sport where there's smoke, there's fire every single time. They can never keep a secret. It doesn't work that way. Social media has outed the business, and that is just the new part of the business. But as far as it goes to Brock and Daniel or Brock and anybody or Brock and the UFC, man, it's starting to feel like there must be something more going on over there. Now, the one reason that Brock can keep secrets, and you can keep a secret with Brock, you talk to anybody. Brock doesn't go to a real gym and see real coaches and have real teammates that then all leave and all want to tip somebody off to something. Brock doesn't answer his telephone. Brock doesn't run in these circles. So Brock is the one guy where you could keep a secret. So I think Daniel is at home going, hey, I wonder if I'm fighting Brock. And he doesn't know, because Lesnar just doesn't say. Now, Daniel is actually one of the few guys that can get a hold of Brock Lesnar on the cell phone that he tells everybody he doesn't have. He actually does have a cell phone. He just tells people he doesn't. And he will take Daniel Cormier's text message. Won't take his call, but he will take his text.
Let me ask you two questions.
I'm just wondering if after Brock shoved him across the ring, if Daniel didn't go, oh, I'm not going to text him. It's like, hey, Daniel, do yourself and your career a favor. You're one of the only guys in the world that Brock Lesnar will get back to. Reach out to him. Say, hey, man, are we doing this? I'm trying to plan my year.
Now, you know how the wrestling mind works. If I beat you 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and you didn't beat me back, I can always beat you.
Yep.
Did they wrestle with each other? Does Brock believe the wrestler Brock?
Sure.
Brock, the amateur wrestler Brock, does he believe he can beat Daniel?
Okay, so these guys were actually the same year. They graduated the same year. I'm going to guess that they've never touched each other. For two reasons. First off, you would generally touch a guy from a different school in competition, which they were two weight classes apart, not just one. Don't forget, Daniel was not a 197-pounder. He was a 184-pounder. Brock was a heavyweight and all of it. So they never touched in competition. And the other way that you would do that is in a workout room, particularly and almost exclusively for the international styles in the international season. Brock was not a freestyle or Greco-Roman wrestler, so he would not have been at those training camps or at the training center. So I'm going to guess they have never touched each other. The most physical they ever got is when Brock got in the cage and cut a promo on him.
Because out of all the people Brock could petition a fight for, Daniel's not the guy.
No, he's not. But see, this actually speaks more to the Brock story. And I see so many stories get rewritten. I see some guys that were damn good that go down as some of the greats that were ever did. And it's like, nah, he's not in that category, but he was damn good. And I see guys, that were greats, but the story gets written about, oh no, they weren't, and here's why. And let me tell you, in the competition and all of these kinds of things. When you write the Brock Lesnar story, okay, this is a world champion who absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame someday. But if anything you want to say about Brock, if you want to pat him or you want to kick him or whatever you want to do, you cannot say that he is a coward. He's not. He got in there with Shane Carwin at a time that nobody wanted in there with Carwin. He got in there with Cain Velasquez, and still to this day, nobody wants in there with Cain Velasquez. And now he's getting ready to... He got in there with Randy Couture at a time he did not belong in there with Randy Couture. Right? I mean, I think Brock had two fights. If I'm wrong, he had three. He was 1-1 or 2-1, and he's fighting for the strap against The Natural. And now he's going to go in there with Cormier. So I hear what you're saying, that that's a terrible matchup. I get the whole thing. But it does help to add to the story of Brock Lesnar that, of anything, he is a competitor, and he will walk out there and do it when he says he will.
Do you think that fight's going to happen? Do you think Brock and Daniel are going to fight?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think even in light of everything that I just said to you, and I think there is something going on behind the scenes, I can't put my finger on it. However, for me to say that Brock looked a lot skinnier on Monday Night Raw, and all of a sudden he looks like he gained that weight, all these different things, what I'm alluding to is that he's back on steroid use, which may or may not be true. However, to counter my own statement there, he is still in the USADA pool. He never left the pool. and he also hasn't tested hot. So I need to be real fair there to Brock. There was a reason that he would subject himself to the USADA pool, and it's not just for fun. So yeah, I think he's planning to fight, and if he's going to fight, it's going to be DC, from what we've been told.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
This is Heather Dubrow from Heather Dubrow's World.
Hey, it's Steve Austin from the Steve Austin Show.
Hey, this is Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana from Riggle's Picks.
This is Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine.
Hey, this is Kelty from The Lady Gang. Happy holidays from Podcast One.
2018 has been a wild year in sports, and college football season is going out with a bang as college football playoff semifinals are set for this Saturday, December 29th, only on ESPN, with two back-to-back games starting with Clemson and Notre Dame at the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at 4 p.m. Eastern. Clemson has Notre Dame's number from their last meeting back in 2015. Then it's Alabama and Oklahoma at the Capital One Orange Bowl at 8 p.m. Eastern. These two teams are facing off for the first time since the 2014 Sugar Bowl. And don't forget, Oklahoma has beaten Alabama three straight times. The winner of the Orange and Cotton Bowl will face off in the national championship game presented by AT&T on Monday, January 7th, only on ESPN. Don't miss it.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Just give me a straight-up pick. Who wins, Jones and Gus? Just give me a name.
I mean, I can't pick against a guy that's never lost.
Okay.
I mean, I don't care how long he's been out. I'll be rooting for Gus, but why would you pick against John Jones? He's never lost. We don't know how it's going to happen. If it happens, then we can say do this.
Sure.
But we can't.
Yeah. No, I got more than I need there. Jones. Jones is your pick.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next, you want to do Amanda Cyborg here?
Well, who's your pick?
Well, I'm not a very good picker. Because I always like...
You're on fire.
Yeah, I guess I have been pretty hot lately, but I generally do just find myself, even aside from the evidence in front of me, leaning towards the underdog and then making a case for him. With that in mind, I think that I am doing that here. I think, based on the first fight that was razor thin, based on firsthand knowledge of when you come off the vitamins, it takes a little bit of time before you can adjust and you can firsthand. So I think we're going to see a reduced John Jones. I don't know that he had any reductions he could do if you were to compare that to the first fight. I don't think he can come in if everything else is equal and he comes in diminished at all and win because that first fight was so close. How much of that first fight do we have the right to look at? John Jones evolves faster than anybody. Every time you think, okay, this is who I'm fighting, I'm going to stand with my coach, I'm going to watch all of his tape, he walks out, and within 30 seconds, he does a technique he's never done before, and he changes the fight. You remember Glover Teixeira, just by example. He comes out, he hooks Glover's arm with both arms, tears out Glover's bicep. 30 seconds into the fight, he tears his bicep with a move that doesn't even have a name. I mean, as I'm sitting here trying to describe it to you now, what did I say? He grabbed his arm and pulled. I mean, it doesn't even have a name. Joe Rogan has the hardest job in the world when he has to call John Jones fights because John is doing moves that don't exist, that nobody's seen before. So, point being, how much of that old fight can I really tell you it's going to be those guys? I don't know. But I can tell you it was razor thin and a diminished John Jones, and he will be diminished. Did it have any room, at least in that first contest, to give up to Gus? The other side of this that nobody's talking about, including me, is Gus has been out 14 months himself. Now, Gus will do what he can do when he can do it. He's a very disciplined guy. He will be in the gym. He will do whatever he can do. If he's got a rehab this day, if his arms hurt, then he'll ride a bike with his legs. If his legs hurt, then he'll go over and do something with his arms. John is not that way. John is not a hard worker. He is not a disciplined guy. And we have actual empirical evidence of that, which
Great
is
word.
Known as November 3rd, which is known as Madison Square Garden, which is known as New York, which is known as John Jones's hometown. And he passed on it because he said, I'm not ready. I haven't been training. So when you find out that he's sitting around with a thumb in his ass the whole time he was suspended, it does lead you to have to question how much better can he be? So with all of that in mind, it does make me think that Gus has an outstanding shot to leave with the championship. But even with that analysis, my final analysis, under the rules that I laid out for you a minute ago of just make one pick and tell me who it's going to be, Joel, I got to go with John Jones for the same reason you did. I haven't seen him lose.
Let me.
I just think that Gus has the best chance of anybody ever of getting over on him. But what's that mean?
A few weeks ago, I was in here. I said, coaches don't need to talk. Keep a microphone away from them. Last week, Jones's coach comes out and says, hey, man, this two-year suspension's been a blessing in disguise for John Jones. Really? The guy hadn't fought in 2 years. That's good. Now you're telling me he doesn't go to practice. That's good. Coaches, shut up. Listen to me. Please, shut up.
Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if a guy ever got in a jam? Any kind of a jam, injury, a suspension, a this or that, but came out and said, yeah, man, this was terrible. I mean, wouldn't it be nice? Guys always do that. That seems to be the default button, and they think they're some kind of smart PR gurus of whatever happens to them. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
It's always the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Guy gets his ass kicked. Hey, that loss, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. That really taught me to blah, blah, blah. Shut up. That sucked. That was a terrible, terrible moment. But it's just such a basic and simple PR spin that it turns me off whenever somebody does that. Oh, man, I really think this is the greatest thing. And they tell you why. It's like, really, that? You in handcuffs, embarrassed in front of the world. Your reputation is shambles. Your nose broke. I mean, whatever it could possibly be. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and here's why. Yeah, really?
It was a blessing.
I mean, you must have really had a hard life if that was a good thing.
Do we see our boy Lionheart, Anthony Smith, in the cage if Jones wins, saying, that's my fight?
Yeah, I think so. Well, and that'll be very telling, too, right? So break this down. Anthony Smith is the number one contender. John is now talking about Anthony Smith in interviews. There is something in Anthony Smith that John doesn't love, because he's also talking about Daniel Cormier in interviews. But I guess here's what I will say. If Lesnar is coming back to fight Daniel Cormier, if that is done, and for whatever reason just has not been revealed to us, and perhaps will be revealed to us as soon as this Saturday at the pay-per-view, perhaps the trailer and the package is put together and they're going to drop that on us. Tickets on sale Monday, however they want to do it. Perhaps. I don't know that I think that, but perhaps. Then yes, Anthony Smith versus John Jones would be next. But you could also do that in reverse order. If we see the face-off of Anthony Smith and John Jones, that means that Brock and DC is done, and they're just waiting to reveal that. That's right. If we don't, if something happens and Anthony Smith, who's there and is in the front row and is the number one contender, gets passed over by the media side of this, meaning the announcers, nobody ever alludes to that, then that should also tell us that something's going on with Brock that isn't positive.
I tell you the one thing, you know, fan of Anthony's, love what he's done this last year, great guy. The thing I love the most is he believes he's the guy to beat John Jones.
Yeah.
He wants that. He didn't want the title fight. He wants to be the guy that beats John Jones. Yeah, he gets whatever comes with it, but the fact is he believes that. I like that. Like that story.
Sure. And Joel, it does come back, and we'll move on after this, but it does come back to, you know, one of the things I am most excited about for this weekend is I really do think the entire storylines of 2019 for that division get told this night. Right? If Jones wins, we kind of know what direction we're going, and if Jones does not win, you know, sets up a possible rubber match and all sorts of, you know, there's just everything that we need to know about light heavyweight for the foreseeable future of 2019 we got to get through this fight. And you get to that press conference in the following week, man, we're going to have a lot of different directions to go based on the outcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know they're hoping this fight goes through because they don't want to see Cyborg and Nunes main event that card this weekend. Let's run at this, the co-main event in this.
Did I miss something on that?
I mean, is that a end of the year card for you?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We lose main events all the time. This is one you don't want to lose.
Yeah. Oh no, this is a mega fight for sure. Yours in the making. However, as far as female fight goes, and I will put it in a gender category because the sport puts it in a gender category. I never wanted to see a female fight more than I want to see this one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But if Nunes wins that fight, mm-hmm. is that 145-pound division gone?
I don't think so. I don't think it would be incumbent upon that. No, I think...
I mean, they built that division for Chris Cyborg.
Sure.
I'm glad they did. I think she deserved it. I guarantee you can't tell me five girls that fight at that weight class.
Sure. No, I most certainly couldn't. It would be interesting, though. But again, I just think you got to let the dust settle before you can make those kind of predictions. We could see something fantastic happen in that fight that makes us want to see that fight again. So even if Amanda won, maybe more so if Amanda won, oh my gosh, let me see that one again. But it also depends kind of how the fight goes, right? Whether it's a long, drawn-out war and she gets the jump on her and you want to see it again, or she knocks her out real fast and you go, wait a minute, we got to have a redo. You know, much like they gave Jedder Jasek versus Rose, where Rose beat her so bad, so quickly, it's like, okay, that wasn't real. Let's re-see it. And that's a real thing in this sport. A lot of times we'll see somebody get their ass kicked so bad and so fast in a fashion that was not predicted, such as Rose outstriking Joanna, that we chalk it up to a fluke. That's a real thing, and that can be really helpful for resale of business. So let's see where that goes. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you bring up a fair point that division was built for. You know, I say this is the female fight I most wanted to see, and it is. But you want to know the one that could beat it. We're never able to make it. But if Ronda would have rematched Holly right away, and it had to be right away, though. No layoff, no movies, no poor me, no none of that. Just, boom, go right back in there. And a lot of times, for the same reason that I just said, that there was parts of that where you thought it was a fluke, where you've got this great grappler in Ronda Rousey that didn't go out and grapple. She took some hard shots. All of a sudden, she's getting careless. I mean, there was just a story to be told there. And that's what promotion is. It's storytelling. There's a great story to be told. 7-1 underdog takes out, you know, the champ in Ronda. And so that one, if that could have been remade, would probably have more anticipation for me than this. But it wasn't. And so this is the one for me.
Who do you got?
Yeah, so I think it's pretty straightforward that you have Cyborg. I think you've got two big, powerful – they're really very similar fighters. Very, very similar. But one of them in Cyborg is significantly stronger. With that strength generally comes a tendency to be slower, which is not the case here. Cyborg is just as fast as Amanda. So I think ultimately that size will probably – be about all you need to know in this fight. But there is something very compelling about it in that Amanda, who is a world champion, who has every right to every opinion about me or you or any other fighter as anyone out there because she's got the belt. She looked at this fight and said, I can beat her. There is something about that compels me to watch this. What I will tell you I hope for in this fight, aside from an outcome, which I don't have a dog in this race. Whoever wins, wins. But, aside from seeing that, I want for Amanda to bring her skills with her. I want her to go out there and fight. I thought that Holly Holm fought about an inch too far out and was just too apprehensive to step in and land her biggest skill, which is punches and kicks. She was just a little too far out of range the entire fight, which she would miss by a half an inch to an inch for 25 straight minutes. And I would be very curious what would happen if Amanda, who's a great striker, and she's meaner than hell, comes out there with those tools, gets in Chris's face, and lands a few shots.
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Amanda. The reason I'm going to go with Amanda is her frame. You know, she's not a small 135-pounder. I mean, she cuts to get there. I think strength-wise and as much time as she has, I think she can hold her own, and I think she's going to pull off the upset.
Yeah.
There you go.
I can't tell you're wrong. I really do want to see that fight. Let's take a second here to give a big shout out to our friends at TrueCar. With TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer for your car. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth or pet your dog or do a few sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone or even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch as your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your car. They'll check it out with you. They'll ask you a few questions so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new car. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your vehicle, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. Is there any other fights that night? I have the foggiest idea. I mean, this whole card, at least for me, has been built around those two matches. And when you have two title fights, you can only suck so much air out of the room, right? There's only so much space on a poster. So I get that whole thing. But for all I know, we got a killer third and fourth fight. I'm not up to speed on. I need to get boned up.
We'll get boned up for tomorrow. We'll figure. I'm sure there's a bunch. They got 15 fights on the card.
Cool. Well, so that's it. The show's Friday, but I hear what you're saying, and we'll be ready, and we'll bang one out.
The show's Friday.
Our show. I thought when you said we'll get ready for tomorrow, you meant us.
Yeah, whatever you said.
No one knows.
No, there's no way to know.
No one knows for sure. And what are you going to do other than this? For Joel, I'm Chael. Thank you for listening. We'll see y'all Friday. And until then, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
As you gear up for the biggest game in the NFL season, Podcast One is teaming up with the Underdog Network to be your one-stop shop for all things football. As the big game draws closer, Chris Horwedel is joined by the Dan Patrick Show Danettes for their NFL postseason analysis.
I don't disagree with you. This could be one of the ugliest games of football of all time, which the Jaguars were already a part of one of those against the Colts this year, so we'll see if they replicate that.
Check out the Underdog Network and the Dan Patrick Show every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.